They really think robots are going to go in there and...
Be surprised, man. Yeah. Robots are taking over the world.
Have you seen it?
You think so?
Oh, I think so. It's going to happen.
Bro, I saw that like they have like animatronic robots like that look just like people walking now. And yeah. Like, did you not see iRobot? Did nobody see that movie? All right, ready? Boys and girls, the hype is real. It's the entity that nobody knew that they needed. And it starts right now. It's your boys locked down with
Matt Irwin,
Chris Krueger,
Critty Krug, and Zach Ferrer. We're here to talk about all things sports, and whatever random crap we get into. This is the debut episode, boys. I think there's no better way to start this than the dynasty is ending in New England.
I'm so excited.
Chris? It's amazing. I love it.
It's perfect. And like, don't get me wrong, I'm a big Sox fan, big Celtics fan. Bruins are all right. But there's just something so pure and could we even say prophetic of the downfall of New England, that they're the fact that they're going to lose to Miami tomorrow, that the Dolphins are going to go 4-0 to lead the AFC East. Like, can we just, I didn't even want to do an introduction for this. Let's just get into the fact. Matt, how do you, let's get into this.
Okay, so the Dolphins, Ryan Tannehill going to win MVP. Let's go ahead and start that off right now.
Right.
No, but seriously, I don't know. I think the Patriots actually are going to beat the Dolphins tomorrow.
Think so?
I think Tom's really going to be mad. And I think he's going to come out and throw
Did you
like
see
five
the video?
Touchdowns.
I saw this video on Twitter. He was getting down. I think it was the new Lil Wayne, but he was getting down to it, bro. First of all, you are 41 years old.
And he's got some moves.
He's got some moves. What? But yeah, I'll show it to you later, bro. It's crazy. I should have loaded it up now. But he is getting down, dude. And he's getting loose. He's getting groovy, getting jiggy with it. I would be a little nervous for Miami if I saw that. I don't know. I think there's a difference between pissed off Tom Brady and Lucy Goose Tom Brady. I don't think we've ever seen Lucy Goose Tom Brady, actually.
It's true.
He could drop 8 touchdowns tomorrow, and nobody will see it coming. I mean, we will from the video, but geez. So, I don't know, guys. Here's my thing is they signed Josh Gordon, right?
They did. They traded for him,
They traded for him. You're right. And so there's a vertical threat. Before that, Chris Hogan wasn't doing it.
No, because Julian Edelman has been suspended.
Been suspended.
And he'll be back next week.
He's back next week.
Next week.
So they've had no vertical threat at all. And because of that, Gronkowski's been double covered. He can't do anything. Maybe a couple targets a game. But the defense. Oh, wow. The defense. It's like a retirement home.
They're
so slow.
They're so slow. And they've always benefited from Brady's ability to hold on to the football and to get first downs. But now that the offense can't drive the ball, the defense just looks horrible.
It's bad. And even something else, when I was watching the Detroit-New England game, I don't think we're giving Matt Patricia enough credit that we're just saying, oh, it's just New England going through the motions. It's just New England trying to figure things out. They do this every year. They don't. But they do this every year where they just fall short, right? And they need to go through and figure things out before the season really starts. But listen, Matt Patricia sat under this guy for how long? Was it? I don't know.
The Patriots?
Yeah.
I mean, it was it was at least five. I think more than
and
that.
And he was picking everything that Josh McDaniels was throwing at him as far as offense goes.
Yeah.
They held him down. So with that being said, I don't know if I know I did say Miami's going to win. I still believe it. But I think we have to give more credit to Detroit and the way that they came in and just put up a beating on the fact that Matt Patricia worked under Bad Bill for so long, you know?
Yeah.
So, but even on that note, do you think that Bill Belichick can be figured out in his offensive scheme? I mean,
I think Matt Patricia found him out last week.
Yeah.
I think they're going to have to change up a lot of stuff. I think a lot of their third down plays were really predictable. Matt Patricia knew when they were going to run the ball, when they were going to go outside, when they were going to throw the underneath routes. He knew when they were going to do what they wanted to do, and they shut it down. So I think now Tom's going to have to really be the GOAT. He's going to have to kind of do the Peyton Manning thing where he adjusts on the fly. He's going to have to put the team on his back, because if he doesn't, this Patriots team is not going to go far in the playoffs.
I think it's a combination of that and they just don't have enough talent at this point. Agreed. On offense.
That's fair.
They double-team Gronk. So if they double-team Gronk, who else do they have right now? They have no running backs. Rex Burkhead's out for the year. Like, they have James White.
Yeah,
he's like, never been.
And he's never... He can catch the ball, and that's basically it. So...
Yeah.
Speaking of GOAT, the Los Angeles Rams. Oh, boy.
They're so good.
They're so good. Could we even call them the team of the Lockdown Podcast?
Yes. I would like absolutely.
Can we start that now?
That's the team.
That's our team. That's what I thought.
I think they're the best right now.
Like...
It's early, but they're
Jared Goff,
like,
though. Jared Goff.
It's like Sean McVay and Jared Goff are out there like two bros just doing their thing.
It's great. It's so much fun to watch.
Chest bumping and everything.
Yeah.
You just see that after, I forgot what touchdown it was. He runs to the end zone and chest bumps the head coach. I'm like, you just don't see that, folks.
The coach is 32 years old. I believe, 31.
He's the hero that everybody needed.
John Gruden would fire you if you tried to do that to him.
John Gruden. Can we even get into that? I'm not even knowing my Rams. Let's finish with the Rams.
Yeah, let's do that.
Because, oh boy, Sean McVay. The way that he schemes his arsenal of playmakers is crazy, right? Sean McVay. The way that Sean McVay is scheming his arsenal of playmakers open to all over the field is just crazy, right? So you get Jared Goff, who's got the... like. It's funny because I would read on his draft reports that the biggest thing that I saw was that he couldn't read the field. And I didn't really always believe that, but you're seeing that now. He's got there was one play with Cooper Kupp. Is that how his name is pronounced?
Yeah.
Cooper Kupp.
He runs this go route, right? Everyone else is running outpost. He runs this go route out. At one point, double covered, right? And it's almost as if Jared Goff was like, I know that safety is going to come off, right? It was crazy. Like, I don't know, man. I just don't feel like we rip on him a lot. And we mean, you know, the realm of the NFL. But we rip on him a lot for his inexperience. I mean, I did a prediction for the NFL season. That's the biggest thing that I said for the playoffs was the Rams aren't going to go far because of his inexperience. And he's totally taking that comment and just shoving it in our faces saying, oh, really?
I think what people are thinking is like in his rookie year when they didn't have Sean McVay, he was terrible.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And then ever since Sean McVay came, he's been like, I don't know, top 10 quarterback now.
Yeah, so that just shows he's chemistry, been amazing. You know,
mm-hmm. He has so many weapons.
Yeah,
best running back in the league, Todd Gurley, right now by far.
Yeah, I think so.
He's got Brandon Cooks, Cooper Kupp, and I mean
Robert Woods.
Yeah. They're loaded.
Yeah,
Brandon Cooks.
Yeah,
Brandon Cooks is destroying
the outside the right. It's crazy.
Yeah, he's taking the reason why a lot of those guys like Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods are open over the middle is because the safeties are gravitating towards Brandon Cooks because he's just so dangerous. That's what he did down in New Orleans. I don't know why New Orleans got rid of him. He's like amazing. But he does such an incredible thing for defenses because he's so fast. Kind of like a much better Ted Ginn in his prime.
Right.
You know what I mean? But yeah, I mean, the Rams are so good, man.
So Jared Goff finishes, his passing line was 26 for 33, 465 passing yards and 5 touchdowns. Wasn't it 4 touchdowns in the first half?
Yes.
And like 150 passing yards and 4 touchdowns in the first half over Kirk Cousins, 36 for 50 with 422 passing yards and 3 touchdowns.
Kirk Cousins had a great game, too.
Kirk Cousins did have a great game.
And I benched them both on my fantasy team.
Wow. Why?
Idiot.
Who did you start?
I started Matt Stafford and won over the Cowboys.
Okay, that's not
okay,
bad.
Okay, and then Ben Roethlisberger over the Ravens.
Ben Roethlisberger?
Last week he had 39 points. Over the Bucks.
Pretty.
And the previous week he had like 38. He's been a beast.
Right, I'm not gonna roast you too hard. I just
that's fair.
You guys are gonna come to know
that was a tough one.
I'm like, just never gonna give Pittsburgh any credit for anything they do.
Right.
I hate the Steelers.
Same. Yeah. But here's the thing, right, for the Steelers, I don't know if we're gonna get into this right now.
Just do it.
Okay, let's do it. Let's get into it. So I believe, hot take boys, that they should go young. They have a star quarterback on their bench right now with Josh Dobbs, and James Conner is an incredible running back, and he's showing it right now.
Yep.
I don't mean you don't get rid of Ben Roethlisberger. That's not right. What you do here. But at some point, you've got to say, do we keep latching onto the past? Do we give Le'Veon Bell $80 million? Do we lock down all of our salary cap when you have all these talented young guys that you could really benefit from playing them now, you know, instead of waiting 2 years in the future when the Browns are going to actually be a great team?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And all of a sudden, the Steelers are getting blown out by the Browns, and people are like, what's happening? You got to prepare for that now. And the way to do that is to get young.
But so do you think Ben Roethlisberger, I mean, not to say he has all to say, but when they drafted, was it when they drafted Dobbs? Or
they had Mason Rudolph, too.
Rudolph. It was when they drafted Rudolph. Mm-hmm. He said, I'm not going to put him under my wing. He's got to figure himself out. But then you get situations with Sam Darnold and what's his name? Freaking the backup quarterback of the Jets.
Oh, Josh McCown.
Josh McCown and Sam Darnold.
Oh, yeah.
The way that McCown, who also is another quarterback that he's... Yeah, we can rip on him saying, oh, he's a great bench quarterback like Ryan Fitzpatrick. Can't wait to get into Ryan Fitzpatrick.
He's a class act.
He's a class act.
Yeah.
And the way he said, you know, he took Sam Darnold in as a mentor, or put himself as a mentor over Darnold, saying, I want to see you succeed. Shouldn't that be what the goal is for an NFL franchise, is to have a team come together saying, it's not all about the money. It's not about how I can succeed and get all these stats up, but I want to go to the Super Bowl. I want to win titles. When's the last time the Jets won the AFC East? I don't know.
Was their quarterback?
I don't think they won. I don't think so. I think they got to the playoffs.
They made the wild card.
Yeah, they made the wild card.
The Patriots have won for like 15 years in a row.
They need to stop at some point.
They're going to.
This is it.
Tom Brady's on the decline.
This is it. Old Tommy. But so you see that with McCown and Darnold, that McCown takes Darnold under his wing. And it'd be different. It'd be more relatable almost if Darnold was the backup, right?
Right.
If he sat under him thinking, oh, eventually, we're a little bit with Rodgers and Favre specifically, that Favre, you know, trained Rodgers up underneath him so that when Favre retired, Rodgers would take over. But now what we're seeing is McCown sitting under, like, how humbling is that to see McCown pushing him forward, saying, if I ride the bench to watch you succeed, I'll be cool with that.
That's awesome.
That's a testament to what the NFL will be.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. That's Josh McCown really knowing, you know, in essence, why he got hired.
Right.
You know, because the Jets bring, you know, you bring in someone like that to basically lead your team and to be a veteran, in a sense.
Right.
And being able to do that really is the ultimate leadership. You can't lead any better than putting young rookies above yourself in terms of their development, their growth, and how important they are to the team.
Right.
You know, that's above all.
It's not all about football.
Exactly.
It's all relationships and building them up.
Yeah, dude. It's great. It's good to see.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of relationships, we need to start looking at the way Dirk Koetter, is that how his name is pronounced?
Dirk Koetter,
head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. How is he looking at his relationship with QB1 right now, Ryan Fitzpatrick, compared to when homeboy Jameis Winston comes off the bench? Or comes off of suspension this week.
Oh,
who's he starting? It's going to be Fitzpatrick.
I think it's easy for me.
Who's he starting? And let me ask you guys this. Who's starting this week or for the next couple weeks? Let me rephrase this. Who's starting this week, but then who's the long-term quarterback that he's going to go to?
Ooh, that's a good question.
You know what I mean? Go ahead and answer that. I got some stats to look up.
You go first.
Okay.
What do you think?
I think Jameis can be the quarterback of the future, but at this present time, I think Fitzpatrick is the guy to go to.
Yeah? Why is that?
The first 3 weeks of the season, it's like he's been top five quarterback right now just this year. I don't remember how many touchdowns he's thrown. I believe it's about
11.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But
1,200 passing yards.
Okay, they beat the defending champs. And then they beat the Saints on the road with 48 points. And then last week they barely lost to the Steelers. Yeah. But
did you see that emotion that was in his face?
Dude, the Fitz magic came back so hard.
He did, yeah. So to me, if you put Jameis in that situation, I don't know if they would even get 2 wins. I don't even know if they get any.
Right.
To be honest at this point.
That's
so
fair, yeah.
I think it's a character building season for Jameis that he should sit now. If Fitzpatrick falls off at any point, then Jameis comes in.
That's a great point, and I absolutely agree. I think this is a huge character building opportunity for them.
Yeah.
Jameis, through his career, he's a great quarterback, but his character hasn't been great. And also, he's really, really struggled with interceptions his entire career, even back in college. So I think a big thing he needs to do now is really focus on growing up from, like, maturing. And he needs to focus on basically watching tape and maybe trying to get Ryan Fitzpatrick to mentor him at least a little bit so he can become a little bit, you know, safer as a quarterback. You know, I watch the Buccaneers a lot because I keep up with that division because I'm a huge Panthers fan. And the one reason why the Bucs never really have gotten past the hump, especially specifically against the rivals in the division, is because Jameis, while he makes some great plays, always tends to like lose the game for them in the fourth quarter. He makes a boneheaded throw, or he fumbles the ball in the pocket, or he does something bad in the fourth quarter that gives the game away.
So would you consider that to be inexperience, like with Sam Darnold throwing a bunch of interceptions to start through college and his beginning of his career, or do you think that's just Jameis?
I think it's Jameis. I think it's the way that he sees the game of football. I think he has a very like a YOLO mentality where he just kind of goes for it. He doesn't really think about his actions. Like, he didn't think about if there was a camera in the Uber. You know, he doesn't really think about things. He just kind of does it. And I think it's a huge opportunity right now for him to grow if he just gets benched and if he gets told, hey, you're not the most important thing on the field. It's about the team.
So there's one drive I wanted to bring up about the Bucs and Steelers game, right? All hope was seeming to be lost for Tampa Bay coming into the second half. Interceptions. I don't even want to put it too much on Fitzpatrick.
The whole team played bad.
The offensive line wasn't
blocking during the first half. Yeah.
You can't put it on Ryan.
They played bad.
Just over 3 minutes remaining in the game, Ryan single-handedly brought the team back. You could feel it, the emotion from that meme. Oh, the meme was so good.
I would tell you, though, if they had a better defense, they'd be undefeated right now.
Oh, but we knew that week one. They played New Orleans week one,
they
allowed
40 points in a loss.
It was a testament to how good the offense is when they're clicking, but also how flawed the defense is.
Right, but they shouldn't be.
Right.
Their front four is nasty, but they can't get pressure.
Yeah.
Right.
It makes no sense to me. I don't know if it's a defensive scheme. I don't know whether only Gerald McCoy is trying. I don't know either.
So, one drive I wanted to bring up. The Bucs were down 30-27, okay? At their own 20-yard line. Fitzpatrick needed to drive it 80 yards to win the game. He's done it before. He's the only quarterback in NFL history to start the season with 400 passing yards in a row in 3 games. Nobody else has done it before. So you're thinking, this is it. And he can't even get into field goal range. He couldn't even get past, what was it, his own 30?
He couldn't complete a pass. 3 incomplete passes.
I saw that thinking, great, this is it. It's magic. It's over. It's not coming back. But I think it's more of a testament, like we were saying, to when the team just... this team is prone to not clicking, not getting on cylinders. I don't know what it is. Maybe they're just getting used to the new quarterback still. But because... who they opened the season against New Orleans. Who they play week 2?
The Eagles.
So, see, I don't even know what to say on that. Those are two good.
That was one really bad defense. First 3 games.
Philly's defense has been consistent while their offense has been struggling.
During the third down play, he threw it 15 yards and hit the guy in the hands. He just dropped the ball.
Yeah. So it's...
I mean, the Bucs just don't have a complete team yet.
Yeah. I think it's more... But even then, 2-1 is still 2-1.
Yeah.
And they beat the reigning Super Bowl
champions.
It's
much better than we thought against those teams.
They beat Drew Brees at home. They came close. Was it? It was in Tampa. So they came close to a Pittsburgh team that can be overlooked, but is also getting to the end of their dominance.
They were due for a win at some point.
They were
right. Yeah, of course.
Especially after losing or tying with Cleveland week one.
Yeah.
So we just have to get to a point of people can say Fitzpatrick. I've seen this online. Fitzpatrick, he is what he is. He wins a handful of games. But all he's there for is to, kind of like Nick Foles, to take over the starting spot until the main guy comes back.
Yeah.
But
those guys can surprise you. Nick Foles won a Super Bowl.
In my opinion, he should be a starting quarterback somewhere else right now, Nick Foles. I think he could do it.
Not if he plays like he did in the preseason.
Well, That's true. But Matt doesn't agree.
What's your take, man?
Listen, man. I think Nick Foles can be great. My issue with Nick Foles, I think he's really easy to scout.
Yeah.
I think when defenses get a chance to really sit down and scout the guy, and you're not running a bunch of trick plays like the Eagles did in the Super Bowl, he's a really easy guy to stop.
So do you think that... So saying that, you think Carson Wentz is definitely the fit for...
Oh, yeah. Wentz is really good. I just don't know how healthy the dude is. You know, I hope he can come back this year and they can get far, but I don't know. I really don't know. A torn ACL is not a thing to joke about, and you're talking about the guy's career as a quarterback. You know, I don't think you should rush him back by any means necessary.
Agreed. So. And I think, I mean, this is a complete team overall in Philly. So I think eventually... Just like any other year with New England, they're going to figure it out. Especially under Doug Peterson, they're going to figure it out. But it's about to get spicy, boys.
Oh, spicy boys.
Speaking of torn ACLs.
Oh, no.
Dun, dun, dun.
And we, Chris, I think I've been waiting all week for this, personally. I don't know what we're going to call this segment yet. But I just want to hand over let Matt take over the floor for a second, because homeboy has got something to say about Jimmy G, Jimmy Garoppolo. Matt?
Okay, so when you're a franchise quarterback, you get paid how much in the $100 million range? Your job is to stay healthy by any means necessary and get your team to win. That's why at practice you don't get hit and nobody touches you. Your job is to be there. If something happens, like what happened to Teddy Bridgewater, when he like blew out his knee, it's a shame and that shouldn't happen. But when you're on the football field and you think that you're Cam Newton and you're about to go out of bounds and you cut back in to try to truck a linebacker, dude, what are you doing? You tear your ACL and now you're out for at least a year, if not more. This guy, maybe he's young, so he can make mistakes and he can kind of get away with it because he's learning, I guess. But this is a huge mistake that he's got to learn from, because if he doesn't, his career could already be over really before it even starts. A torn ACL is not something to joke about, and, you know, if he doesn't do his rehab correctly, this dude's career could be over. The 49ers are out of $100 million. Like, this is horrible. I hate it. These quarterbacks need to learn to try to protect themselves. And then that can get us into a whole different thing with the roughing the passer controversy that's going on right now.
Right.
But you got this whole, I guess, controversy in the league about trying to protect the quarterback, and then these quarterbacks don't even want to protect themselves. And at some point, you have to make leeway one side or the other. The NFL is going to have to basically be like, quarterbacks don't want to protect themselves, don't protect them anymore. Or every quarterback's going to have to be like, let's just always slide or go out of bounds. Mm-hmm. Because it's getting ridiculous now. And God, I just hope nobody else tears their ACL.
Right.
It's a tough blow for the 49ers. His contract, he just signed a contract this offseason.
Yeah.
Garoppolo. 5 years, $137.5 million.
That was $137 million ACL tear, bro.
He didn't do anything, and he got 130. He played like four games.
He played six games. Man, like.
Come on. And see, okay, so I lost my train of thought. Dang it.
He's guaranteed $48 million, or $74 million of the contract is guaranteed for injury.
And 4 games, as you're saying, Matt, 4 games into the season, and this happens.
That's a big blow.
Well, no, but William Hayes on the Dolphins.
Right.
He was trying to not get a roughing the passer call, and he tore his ACL. So what do you do?
It's getting ridiculous.
You have guys tearing their ACLs all over the place because they're trying not to hit the quarterback. And then you have quarterbacks who are like, I'm not going to try to protect myself. And then he tears his ACL. Come on.
Do we see, you know, back when, like, we were kids growing up, back when we were kids growing up, maybe it's because we were younger, but I don't, first of all, this was never a big issue. If you're going to hit somebody, hit somebody.
Yeah.
Right. Yes, there was roughing the passer. If, you know, as we saw week one with Clay Matthews, he just freaking annihilated Mitchell Trubisky. That was obviously roughing the passer. Bro, he's just standing there. You can't do that at any play. You can't. Now, if it's like, for example, a punt return, no block in the back, but dude, we saw some like Ed Reed hits coming down the field. That's just the game. Concussions came into play then, like especially with the Junior Seau.
Mm-hmm.
When that came into play, the NFL had to start looking at how do we reduce this, and I think in our opinion, it just became a snowball effect. We need to keep padding it. There's been a lot of people joking around, but seriously saying, eventually we're just gonna have to we're gonna get to flag football.
Yeah,
that's what's gonna end up happening. Or we're gonna say, all right, two hand touch. Oh man, now that's causing you shoved him into another coach. Now we gotta go to flag football. Like what? What is the that could do? I see it getting that way. No, but. At this rate, we don't know.
Right.
Because it just keeps getting... Every week we get some... Especially with Clay Matthews, dude. Like, with... going into the season, I don't remember there being a rule for if you put your weight on the quarterback, that's roughing the passer. Especially when it's a sack.
That's impossible to not do that.
Yeah.
The quarterback on one sack had the ball. That's why it was a sack.
Right.
That was never a rule for if... with and that's why the NFL is in an uproar right now. All the fans with... When you put your weight on the quarterback, now it's a big issue. The quarterbacks are fine. You get paid $137 million to...
Yeah.
And I'm not undermining them at all. But you can, because I don't play professional
football.
But it's
part of the job.
But it's a part of the job. You walk into this job knowing there's a risk of me getting hurt, but that's why I'm getting paid so much.
Yeah.
So that I can have health insurance so that I can, you know... So that
support
I,
my kids support and kids, their kids and everybody in my family.
Yeah.
All right. So... But yeah, like the rule we were saying, like you can't put your body weight onto a quarterback like when you're sacking him. It's like that's impossible.
Yeah,
like,
it's
trying to maneuver around and still sack him.
Yeah,
it's like they're losing so many sacks in that way, and that's how, like you said, William Hayes got injured and tore his ACL, and now he's out for the year.
Yeah,
they're getting soft. It's like what Clay Matthews said.
Exactly, and the thing is, when you're running at a quarterback, you have guys like Russell Wilson back there who can escape from almost anything. Mm-hmm. You can't tell these guys that you can't hit him. You can't put your body weight on him. That's how you tackle Russell Wilson.
Right.
Because he's so fast and agile. You have to get him before he even notices you're there, or else he's going to get out of the way. So if you all of a sudden you tell these guys you can't put your body weight on him, every single time you're supposed to sack Russell Wilson, they're going to get a 15-yard penalty.
It's not like you can tackle him by the feet all
exactly.
the time. That's really hard to do too.
Yeah.
Just however you can sack him, you sack him.
Right.
Unless it's obvious.
Yeah, like right. Unless foul, they, but, you know, after they throw him the ball,
yeah.
you spear him with your head.
Right.
But I mean, I don't know. It's so dumb.
The NFL dropped a video on, I saw it on Twitter, but they dropped a video this week showing what a good tackle or sack on the quarterback looks like and what a bad one looks like. All the videos have been from this year, but the highlights were obviously the two Clay Matthews tackles, the three of them. The first one being in week one. Obvious roughing the passer against Mitchell Trubisky.
Mm-hmm.
Week two, we've had such a rough season. I don't remember who we played week two. Who did we?
Vikings.
Minnesota, the god-awful tie. I'm heated. Triggered. That should
Miss
be a
kicks.
New segment. Hashtag triggered. The sack on Kirk Cousins where he... here's the thing, guys. I see if it's... something where I believe against Kirk Cousins, he had just gotten the ball off, but he was already in motion towards the quarterback. If I'm wrong, I'll stand corrected. But either way, it was flip-flopped either way between Kirk Cousins and who's the Bills quarterback?
Josh Allen.
Hey, yeah. Hey, our boy Josh Allen.
Our boy Josh Allen. What a boss.
Boy.
You see that hurdle? He's a monster.
The hurdle, okay. Josh Allen.
Have we ever seen a quarterback do a hurdle like that?
I have never
before
seen
Josh
it.
Allen.
Not in,
have we
I
ever,
mean, in Madden,
Newton,
but
Cam
not.
Newton has never done
he's
that.
He's never even done that.
I don't think I've
crazy.
Ever seen
crazy.
Who was the guy?
Maybe
he,
Vic?
A white
guy.
Who did he hurdle over? Who did he hurdle over?
It was like a linebacker.
Anthony Barr.
Anthony Barr? The douchebag that took out Rodgers last year? Oh, let's go.
That's what
so
he gets.
Good.
That's what I'm talking about,
dude,
guys.
So good. The Bills actually have a quarterback now, which is great. They haven't had one in 30 years.
Which is crazy, though, because just last week, myself included, was saying, I don't know if the Bills can win a game this season.
Yeah.
Like,
let alone go into Minnesota and just totally destroy them.
Who saw that coming, bro? Like, that was a lock in my eyes.
That defense
like,
looked great.
Minnesota, I mean, walking into the season, the reason they got into the NFC Championship last year was because of their defense.
Yeah.
So, which... I need to drop some numbers on y'all.
Yeah, drop them.
So, as I said, the Vikings reached last year's NFC Championship game behind a defense that led the league in points and yards allowed. I'm going to rewind it. So, the Vikings reached last year's season. I need to reword my notes. The Vikings reached last season's NFC Championship game behind a defense that led the league in points and yards allowed. The same group, no changes, The same, or as far as starters go, the same group from last year allowed 27 points to Josh Allen. And then 29 points to a team in Green Bay that literally only has
a one-legged quarterback.
Geriatric patient in Aaron Rodgers. He's on one leg. I'm not saying that in a way to promote my team, which I am, but guys, he's got one leg and no offensive line and hardly
and no running back.
And a committee running back from Mike McCarthy between Jamal Williams,
Aaron Jones
and Ty Montgomery. Yeah.
They got to find
that's not doing crap right now. Like, it's, I don't know what, this is a question I ask my dad every single year. What is McCarthy doing? We don't know what let's change the defensive scheme. Let's get a new offensive coordinator. But why is McCarthy still running the offense? That's what I want to know. Why are you still running plays? All right, I'm going to throw this at you guys. Ready? We could turn on last week's Green Bay game and say, all right, first drive, halfback dive with the middle and I form. Second drive, put it in strong formation. Play action, drag route. Third down, let's run the ball on third and four only to get stuffed. Now, next drive, all right, we're feeling better. Let's get on the board. Another halfback dive to a running back that can't get forward. All right, second and eight. Another halfback dive to a running back that can't get forward. Third down, Rodgers needs to get 6 yards to a drag route that's being double covered. I don't get it, guys. I don't get it. Mike McCarthy, why are you still running plays? Why are you still running the offense? We need help. When you sign Aaron Rodgers, homeboy is signed on for 6 years, the highest paid quarterback in the NFL right now, and you're not giving him any support. You should be treating him how the Patriots are treating Tom Brady, that he runs the state of Massachusetts. Why is Rodgers not given street names? Why is he not given all the more credit for literally being the only reason we are contending for the NFC North right now? He's the only, like, we saw Deshaun Kizer come in. Yes, it was a last minute thing. And it's hard to put that amount of pressure. We saw it in the Hurricanes last year when Rozier got hurt.
Yeah.
You can't expect to put pressure on a quarterback like that and see him succeed. But can you? You're a quarterback. Shouldn't you be used to feeling that type of pressure and coming in, seeing that he played at Notre Dame, seeing that he played in all these big spots? Minus the Cleveland Browns.
Right.
The mighty Cleveland Browns.
I mean, he's not very good.
He's not good. And so that's the thing. Why Green Bay is just, they have this thing about them where they're like, Rodgers is the way, the truth, and the life. So, but he's been hurt for like 3 or 4 seasons now.
Right.
I'm not saying, keep this on record, I am not saying we should plan for an exit of Aaron Rodgers. He signed on for 6 more years.
Right.
But we need to plan better for these things. When we had
Brett Hundley?
No, he came in 2012.
Matt Flynn.
Okay.
Yeah. Matt Flynn was prepared for that spot when Rodgers got taken out for the...
Wasn't it against the Patriots?
It was.
He threw four or five touchdowns?
4 or 5 touchdowns, 300 passing yards, something like that. He was prepared, not saying, oh, Rodgers is going to get hurt, but you stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
Yes.
You know what I mean? That's a problem with the Green Bay Packers. That was the biggest rabbit trail I've ever taken in my whole life, so we can move on.
I thought I was mad.
Listen, maybe it's because I'm a fan of the Red Sox, the best team in baseball, but my expectations are just very high for all of my teams, and the Boston Celtics, also the best team in basketball. Matt, hold yourself. We'll get into this
later. Stay tuned for later.
You can deny, but it's just the truth. I think I'm just used to a level of excellency in my sports teams, which is why I'm so glad I was not born in Cleveland or San Diego. So
fair points. Fair points.
Fair points. I know. You know, we missed a couple topics, but we jumped over it, but it's okay. So,
how far away is it? We're just over 35 minutes right now. You can make it a 30-minute show.
So, speaking of the best team in baseball, let's talk about baseball. I like baseball. Matt, you like baseball?
Baseball's pretty cool, man.
Yeah, I mean, you're a Marlins fan, so it's hard. It's harder for you. Yeah. But Chris, you're a Rockies
Colorado
fan.
Rockies.
You're a Rockies fan. Sorry, Matt. We got to exclude you from this talk right now. We are division champion friends right here, aren't we?
Well, we clinched the playoff berth, but
well,
our magic number is 2 right now, which means that if we win and the Dodgers lose, we clinch. Or if we win twice and or they lose twice, then we clinch the division. But right now, we have a playoff berth, so it's Rocktober time.
It's Rocktober, baby. Yeah. Soxtober, Rocktober. All right, so
can we see a rematch? 07? Rockies sweep the Red Sox?
Hey, Chris.
Revenge.
I know. That's not happening. I'm sure that it's a good thought for you to think of, but
hey, I have confidence. We've won 8.
I'm happy you have confidence. But so, I have a question for y'all. We get teams like the Red Sox, so specifically the Red Sox, the Indians, and the Astros. They've clinched their divisions. I mean, the Indians clinched their division in like July. Yeah. But I mean, going into the season after April, we're like, yeah, the Indians are going to win this division. Yeah, AL absolutely. East was up for grabs. AL West, Oakland came out of nowhere. That was that ended recently. But still,
how many wins did they have last year? Like
who
the A's like 70?
It had to be 70, yeah. 70 or 60, yeah. Give or take.
Crazy, but so much improvement there.
Yeah, it's. I'm not gonna lie, guys. A very small part of me is rooting for the Yankees because that's a team.
How dare you?
We can beat. That's a team. But at the same time, how beautiful will it be to watch Oakland come into New York on Wednesday night in the American League wildcard game and take out the Yankees? But I also have a pride. Like, I want to take out the Yankees, you know?
Yeah. What if the Yankees take out you?
Oh, please. Listen. That is...
It's rare that we get a team of that caliber or both teams of that caliber in the wild card. There's never been a team with 99 wins in a wild card game.
I mean, yeah.
That's pretty crazy.
It's going to be a great matchup. Yeah.
For the A's.
It's because, I mean, the top teams in the league right now have so much talent and they're all so good. So there's like 8 to 10 teams that are all so good in each division.
The second wild card team in the AL is better than any team in the NL.
Even, Tampa Bay Rays, if the Rays were in the American League Central, they would be either right there with the Indians or division leaders at one point in September. Even the Tampa Bay Rays, dude, they came out of nowhere. And the National League, they would have clinched last month.
Yeah.
Like, it's...
They got a good young team.
They do. They're going to be good. Blake Snell, probably going to get Cy Young.
Yeah.
I'm nervous for next year's game, especially with a young team like that.
I'm excited, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd like to have a Florida team that's at least half decent. Yeah. So.
I mean, I just don't want to win the AL East, but.
That's fair.
But so you get teams like that, like Boston, Houston, and Cleveland. And like we can probably honestly say the American League is the Western Conference of baseball. The Western Conference, like you go into it like, all right, like the West is probably going to win. It's almost like when the Celtics played Cleveland last year in the Eastern Conference Finals, I'm like, if we win, I'll take that as a title victory. Like, we're going to get swept by Golden State. Or even if Houston gets in, it's not going to be pretty. So there's just such the competition level in the American League is crazy right now. But, and this is what I wanted to talk about, you look at the National League, right? Is it the Central and the West are one game right now, right? Between first and second place. Mm-hmm. The wild card, the Cardinals are out by 2 games?
I believe it's 1 game
on
still.
On Saturday, September 29th.
Actually, it might be 2 games, yeah.
And so you look at the competition level in the NL. They've been fighting all season. The Rockies still starting all their starters. The Dodgers, the Cardinals, the Brewers, they're all fighting for position right now. The Red Sox and the Indians, they played a series last week. It was just kicks and giggles out there. Like, whoever wins, whatever. Like, Boston still got the best record. You guys still got the AL Central. Like, let's dap up. Let's have a good game. All right, see you out there. Like, no, it didn't really matter who won because nobody was really trying that hard. But then you get in the NL, teams are fighting for position.
Oh, yeah.
The Braves, even, they've been chilling for the Cubs, too. The Cubs and the Braves have been chilling for a couple weeks now. The NLDS matchup again. It's a Atlanta and Colorado, right?
Currently, that's what it would be. Currently. And Colorado would be hosting.
But
they had the same record right now.
Right, right. So I would be nervous for Atlanta right now, seeing that Colorado is coming off an 8-game win streak. So my question for you guys is, how much does rest versus momentum play a role in, we can say sports, but specifically for baseball, how much of a role does momentum and rest play a role? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think it's kind of a two-sided question, because for everybody but the pitcher, I think momentum has a lot to do with it. But I think for the pitching staff, rest can sometimes beat out any form of momentum you have. Because at the end of the day, what you see in the playoffs a lot of times is teams reaching in the bullpen 6-7 times a game because their guys are so tired. They have to make sure they're getting the best out of their guys they can. So starters end up pitching 4 innings. And then they end up 3-4 innings, and the relievers come in for 1 inning at a time. So I think for pitchers, at the end of the day, rest is the most important thing for them. But when you look at hitters, I know the Braves have 2 of the best hitters in baseball right now, 2 of the top RBI and average leaders in the league.
Yeah.
So I think for those guys, momentum is really the most important thing of all. I think if they can get hot right prior to that series, I think they can win. But I think it depends on the pitching, honestly.
I think to add to the pitching, too.
Yeah.
For instance, for the Red Sox, they've clinched a while ago. But when you get to the playoffs, it's like, in a way, for pitchers, if you have too much rest, then you're all rusty.
That's true. Yeah.
So, in a way, you kind of have to like put them in, mix and match so that they're ready, at least. So yeah. It's like, you don't want them to be waiting for a week, and then all of a sudden, here we are. You got to be ready for the playoffs, you know?
Yeah.
So, I feel like you gotta get them warmed up. You got to give them an inning or two if they're relievers or something, or even starters or something. But mm-hmm. but for hitters especially, it's like I feel like they gotta keep going. If they're on a hot streak, like for instance the Rockies right now, 8 games, you gotta keep them going.
Right.
Because it's like you can't just break it off. It's like keep it riding into the playoffs. You know, keep that win streak going.
Which is why you have to look at teams like the Brewers and think, oh God, this team could go to the World Series.
They're scary.
Bad do you feel seeing Christian Yelich play on the Brew Crew?
Listen, dude, I hate the Marlins.
Derek Jeter came in and just...
Yeah.
And he just... Sorry, Matt, he shafted you guys.
Dude, the Marlins suck. Jose Urania versus the Braves, I think it was last week, he threw at a guy's head. Intentionally tried to hit a Brave in the face with a baseball.
Again?
Yes.
I was going to say again. This happened before.
Acuna?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm over it. This Marlins team sucks. I hate it. You know what? And for Christian Yelich to have success out of the team, I'm super happy for him. Because he's an awesome guy. Yeah. He's an incredible batter. Great fielder. This dude's so talented.
He should get MVP. I know. Like,
he's looking like it right now.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd be biased to say Arenado or Story, but right. I think Yelich is right now.
Yeah.
But it's tight. That's a tight MVP race.
It is. But yeah, Christian Yelich is so great, and I'm happy for him. I don't honestly. If the Marlins are great, that'd be amazing.
Sure.
But I just hate everything about them.
Upper management just sucks.
It's so bad.
Derek Jeter, best executive in the league.
Shut up.
Dude, screw Jeter.
It's the worst. Yeah, I mean, you know what? Why not? I'm happy for the guy.
Yeah.
You know?
He's a good guy.
I'm happy for, I don't like the Yankees, but Giancarlo's doing well, so happy for him too. You know? Get out of Miami. Everybody, please. Don't stay there. Maybe. Unless you hate your career.
Yeah.
There you go. That's my rant.
It's hot. the dome, they barely pull it out, so it's just sitting in that heat, bro. You don't want to play for Miami. You don't want to live in Miami. It sucks.
You're going to get mugged? Who wants to live there?
Right? It's kind of like you remember when who was the running back that got drafted by Detroit? Do you remember this? Who was it? It was I'm having a brain lag right now.
What year?
It was like 2008 maybe.
Oh geez.
And he got drafted by the Lions. Mm-hmm. And his draft video. I'll have to pull it up, and we got to post it somewhere on the podcast page. But he got drafted, and you could see his face is just gotta be kidding me. And like he sits back and looks around. They're like, yay, you got drafted. And he's like, but the Lions?
Was that when they were 16?
It was right after that season.
Oh, that's awesome.
And they struggled like that for years. Yeah. But even the Browns, you see a team like the Browns, and my boy Baker Mayfield, love that guy.
Good boy.
He's, oh, yeah.
Yeah. He's killing it. Team like the Browns, like they got some hope now. But then you get like, It'd be almost like being like, that's how I feel about the Colts right now, dude. Like, with that, I'm super weird about that team where, like, there's hope, but then you see Andrew Luck get pulled out for the last Hail Mary to put in Jacoby Brissett.
Brissett? Are you hungry, Zach?
Dude, I just called him Brissett. I'm hungry.
Aren't we all?
I love the Heat. I want to get that hate. Indianapolis, I'm calling you out. No, like, you get...
All three Indianapolis fans.
All three.
We're calling you out.
All three. they're like, no. Dude, so listen, I lived in Kansas City for a year, right? I see Kansas City and Indianapolis as similar fan bases, okay? So I'd go to a Royals game, and they'd be like, yeah, like, we're a baseball city. Like, this is our Royals, Royal City, Kingdom. We're in the Kingdom. Like, all right, cool. And then they lose. They lost to Detroit, specifically, one game. And then they're like, hey, you know what? Football season's coming up. We're a football town anyway. I'm like, sir, you just told me you're a bit whatever. And so then, like, before they lost to Pittsburgh in the divisional series 2 years ago, bro, they had jerseys all over downtown Kansas City on statues, like graffiti, Chiefs to the Super Bowl. This is it. We're going back. This is the year. They lose and get just blown out by Pittsburgh, and then the jerseys go away, and they're like, listen, Jayhawk season's coming up.
It's only when they win when they actually it's only them.
And so I feel bad for Indianapolis, dude, because, like, I like to creep on sports teams' Twitter pages to see what fans are talking about, right?
Sure.
Going into that game when Andy Luck's back.
Yeah.
He's coming back. This is it. And then he's been good.
Yeah.
He's been pretty good.
Yeah.
But then he got pulled for that last Hail Mary. And Jacoby Brissett, I want to start calling him Brissett. Can I be your
thing?
my boy Brissett. He comes
in. There you go. Yeah.
He comes in, and he's the one to throw the Hail Mary. And it's like, I don't think that's not a panic button. It's definitely not a panic button.
He put a little bit of barbecue on that.
He did.
Nice.
My dog.
I mean, probably because Luck doesn't have the arm strength yet.
Yeah, he's building it up. Yeah. But then you could see just the depression go over the comments, and, like, you know what? NBA season's coming up. Let's go Pacers. Wait, we lost Lance? Who's running Congress this year? Who can we vote for? Because sports aren't doing it for us. So
yeah, they should get Roy Hibbert back.
Where is Roy Hibbert?
I don't know. Hopefully retired.
Oh, man.
I think he did retire.
Yes.
The last team he played for was the Nuggets.
He's such a
really?
Dude. Yeah.
Nice.
Well, he Roy never played, Hibbert. But he was on the roster.
He was on the roster, yeah, right.
He was an important part of the team.
Yeah. Pacers are going to suck this year.
Dude, that'd be so bad.
Victor Oladipo, though.
They do have Victor Oladipo.
Oh, he plays for the Pacers now?
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm thinking of somebody else. My bad.
I think they'll be okay.
Speaking of NBA, okay. Matt.
Yeah.
How you doing?
I'm doing good, man.
You doing good?
I'm excited for the upcoming season, man.
You're excited to watch
the Sixers beat the Celtics in the Eastern in the Eastern Finals? Yeah. I'm excited. It's going to be great. It's going to be a great time.
Hot take.
Well, okay, let me just preface that. If Embiid stays healthy, that will happen. If Embiid does not stay healthy, this is my real hot take, okay, the Milwaukee Bucks are going to the finals. Get it.
You think the Come Bucks, on. Really?
Giannis Antetokounmpo is going
Dude,
to become
whatever his
the,
name is.
It's going to be MVP candidate
I'm
this year.
I'm not going to lie, bro. When the Celtics play the Bucks, I just have this, like, I'm going to watch the game. I'm going to find a way to watch. If it's not on TV, I'll follow it, whatever.
Yeah.
There's always a small part of me, like, we're probably going to lose this game from one player who runs this team.
Absolutely.
And everyone just, that is the prime example. Like, I'm going to say it, dude.
Yeah.
I think Giannis is a way better team player than LeBron James. So much better of a team player than LeBron James. And the way that he can take his team, right?
Okay.
And, like, as I just said, he runs the Bucks, right?
Look at
him. He's got this face right now. I hate LeBron James, bro.
We're about to get into this here in a second.
Unscripted argument. Let's go. So, but here's the thing, right?
Yeah.
I just, I don't like the way LeBron runs his teams. I've never been a fan of it.
Okay.
I like what Giannis is doing in the way that they're – if he wants to dish the ball out, he's going to dish the ball out. If he right. wants to take it, he's going to do it because there's an open lane. If – but, man, those players just come underneath his 40-foot wingspan, bro. Like, he – I like yeah. the way that he's running that Milwaukee Bucks team. I don't like the way they're probably going to be – Eastern Conference finalists this year, but
I think so. But I think Jabari Parker is gonna continue to improve.
Yeah,
he plays for the Bulls now.
Oh,
does he? Oh no, I take back my
rewind.
Argument. Never mind. Never mind.
So anyway,
does he really?
Have things changed?
Shoot, I didn't know he got.
I'm looking up the roster.
Yeah, I'm looking at the roster as well.
All right,
dang it.
Oh, they got Brooke Lopez? I didn't know that.
Oh, no.
Dude, we have been... Obviously, we are just very big football fans, guys.
Listen,
so we've
man,
been,
I've been out of it.
We've been out of it.
I know that Jimmy Butler's been kind of a prick.
Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler. JB, bro.
Oh, Chris Middleton. He's really good.
That's true.
But,
yeah.
Man, the fact that Jabari's gone is kind of an issue.
Where's he play for?
But
the Bulls.
Ew.
Gross. Lowly Chicago
dude.
let's talk about Jimmy Butler.
Jimmy B, yeah. dude.
Let's get on Jimmy
What'd
B.
What'd you take,
quick.
Matt?
Well, this is an interesting question, right? Where you talk about a player who, kind of wants to be traded, and it's like I don't get it because he played for Tom Thibodeau in Chicago. He knew what he was getting into, and he wanted to go there. Like that was the thing was that he wanted to play for Tom Thibodeau apparently, and then he plays for him for what 52 games.
Right.
And then he's like, nah, never mind.
Well, is he mad at the coaching or about the players? Well, I think it's about the players. I don't think it has anything to do with Thibodeau.
I don't know. I mean, why would it be? But I mean, they have a talented team.
They do, yeah.
Unless,
but are they just immature?
They could. I mean, I'm
they're
sure
really
they are.
Young.
They are very,
very young.
Young
team.
Maybe Jimmy just wants to go to Golden State. Why not, huh?
You
everybody
think he's
just
better not.
Everybody just wants to go to Golden State. So I mean, you know, why not?
Well, but then again, the asking price, I've been seeing reports on this, the asking price is crazy.
Yeah, no, yeah.
The Sixers were like, hey, let's try to, can you imagine the Sixers with Jimmy Butler? Bro?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they were like.
They were asking for Ben Simmons.
Ben Simmons.
Are you kidding me?
The only other superstar player next to Embiid on that team. I'm not saying there's no other good players, but
right.
the two highlighted players
yeah.
on the Sixers, they're like, give me that. It doesn't make any sense. That'd be like someone training for Boston saying, give me Jason Tatum. Like. No,
why?
He's the future of this team. Like
yeah.
Ben Simmons is the Sixers are going to be good for a while because of Ben Simmons keeps getting better.
Yeah,
right. And you're asking for him? Are you stupid?
Yeah,
like come on, like
so dumb.
It's like they're just throwing like it's like when you play like Madden or 2K or whatever. You're just like, let me just see what happens if I ask for Le'Veon. Let me see what happens if
yeah.
I ask for Antonio Brown.
Right,
and they're gonna say no. Be like, well, of course you're gonna say no. Let me throw in a first round draft pick. Say no? All right, cool. That's what I thought. All right, let's get real now. It's almost like they were testing the waters. Be like, how dumb are you? Oh, you're smart. All right, cool. Let's work something out. But they're not working something out.
No.
I saw the Miami Heat, though.
Yeah,
they are. And there's been a...
Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
Talks of a three-way trade between the Heat, the Suns,
yes.
and the Timberwolves. What are the... Do you know the details of that? I forgot.
No, I don't know anything about
no.
it. Yeah.
I know the Heat are trying to move Deion Waiters.
I saw...
But that's all
that
I've heard.
If it's just the Heat and the Timberwolves, that the Heat would be willing to give up Hassan Whiteside and Justice Winslow.
Wow.
And like for Jimmy Butler, which I think would be pretty fair. I mean, I don't really know what the Heat would do at center.
Don't know. Hassan Whiteside.
Hassan Whiteside's a big piece of that
yeah,
team.
Yeah, I don't know. Justice Winslow is huge too.
But
I mean,
Justice Winslow.
Yeah. I mean, I guess Jimmy's taking his position.
Yeah,
in that
I would
sense,
think so.
But. Man, I don't know. Giving up.
That'd be a tough team. You got Dragic, and then what would you put? Butler at small forward?
Yeah, Butler at small
and
forward.
And then Waiters
and then
at.
And you keep Waiters at
yeah,
the two.
Yeah, and then who would be power forward and center? Though?
Gosh, I mean, they have Kelly Olynyk.
That's the only bad thing.
But
so I don't know if they have enough pieces.
They have Willie Reed and
to.
Kelly Olynyk, and they're not bad, but.
They're not Hassan Whiteside.
They're not Hassan Whiteside. I don't even think they're really starting material.
Oh, they have Bam Adebayo, too.
They do have Bam Adebayo. He's going to be good.
Yeah.
Well, maybe they can trade Hassan Whiteside. I forgot about him.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So
Butler's contract right now is currently about $20 million. Hassan Whiteside's $25 million.
Yeah.
So that could counteract almost
right.
to be something that Miami can
well,
go after.
Well, the Wolves may have to give up like a scrub or something to be able to balance it out.
Yeah.
Right, right.
That's true. Is who's that guy? Dang it. I think the T-Wolves have a perimeter shooter, Shabazz Muhammad. Is he still on their team?
I don't even know if he plays for anybody.
Really? Dang it.
Is it them? What's his name? The Bucks?
Shabazz
Muhammad.
Yeah.
Amari Stoudemire's on the team.
What?
No. No.
What?
Hold on a second.
He retired.
Google, don't lie to me.
No way.
I knew Derrick Rose. Yeah. Was on the team. I saw that. Jeff Teague is on the Timberwolves.
They have Taj Jones too, don't they? From Duke.
Taj Gibson.
Yeah, but that's my point about, like, I don't think it's the players. They have plenty of veterans on that team. Right. Like,
they're very, very talented.
They are.
Guys, I just lied to your face. He's not in the Timberwolves. Google lied to me. You know, like, you Google roster and it just shows up. I'm like, why is Amari Stoudemire on this?
How awesome would that be, though?
Bro, Amari, where you at, bro? Where you at? Come play for Minnesota.
Bring the face mask back?
Right.
Are you kidding me?
Goggles, yeah.
Heck yeah. Dude's a legend. You can't forget about, those Knicks days were awesome.
Yeah, they were.
Jeremy Lin hitting the game winner. Carmelo sulking in the corner while Jeremy Lin hits the game winner.
I miss Jeremy Lin.
He's
Lin's
having
sanity.
So much luck.
Where does
he's
he play
so
for?
Much bad
Brooklyn,
luck.
Right?
He just got traded from Brooklyn. He's on the Hawks, I think.
The
Hawks,
yeah, yeah.
He's got traded to the Hawks. Yeah. So now he's with
Trae Young, bro.
What's his name? Trae Young, yeah.
That'll
be interesting.
It'll be fun, but they're not going to be good.
No,
and then Dennis Schroeder got traded to the Thunder.
Really?
Yeah.
Didn't know that.
So he'll be backing up.
Dude,
Westbrook.
We have been sleeping on the NBA offseason, bro. I need to catch up for next.
Absolutely.
Episode.
Yeah. Dennis Schroeder's good though. Mm-hmm. I think he can hurt his team sometimes. I think he can get too offensive. I think he tries to do too much on offense when he's not that great, honestly, at like scoring. But I think with Russell, he's going to be able to fill more of that secondary position that he wasn't really able to fill the Hawks because they didn't have like a primary scorer.
Well, now that Melo is gone there. How good do you think that they can be?
So much better.
Yeah, I think so too.
Take Melo off of the roster, and they're like eight times better.
Yeah.
Oh, he's wasted space, bro.
Dude,
he's like dead weight.
And he refuses to come off the bench.
But
he laughs
at
reports.
I saw he's starting off the bench this year. Did you see that?
He's willing to do it for the Rockets, but nobody else. He should. PJ Tucker's probably better than him.
I'm sorry.
That's not great, but yeah.
Yeah,
you're right.
It's pretty accurate.
You're right.
At this point,
he's a big boy. He's put on some weight now that
he's
older.
A big boy,
who, Tucker?
Bro.
No, Carmelo, dude.
Mello, bro.
Yeah, he's kind of let himself go a bit.
Carmelo.
Yeah.
So Matt.
So
I gotta call you out on something, bro.
Oh no.
Well, we started this topic, but we're really good at rabbit trails. I've learned that this is our debut episode, and we are really good at rabbit trails.
That's
so
what happens,
we're never gonna have a format on this show.
Absolutely.
So
not.
I want to end.
Makes it fun.
I wrote something down this week. I put a lot of thought into it. Watching the Celtics' first preseason game last night. Our third string.
Gordon Hayward's back.
It was awful. But Hayward, Irvin, bro, headband Kyrie Irving. I don't know if you saw that, but we got a new persona on Kyrie Irving last night. He's got a little fro going. Got a little headband.
No.
He looks like straight out of Space Jam,
he's
bro.
He's Uncle Drew now.
He is Uncle Drew. Uncle Drew's back.
Did he dye his hair gray?
No.
Oh, too bad.
But Hayward's back. Tatum is just going to continue to push his MVP, or future MVP,
nice. There you go.
Okay, good.
That's way better.
Jaylen Brown continues to be the backbone of the starting five.
Mm-hmm.
We got Marcus Morris out there talking, stirring the pot, saying he got the BWA. I don't know if you heard about that. He is calling our bench the BWA, the bench with attitude, bro. We got Terry Rozier, Scary Terry, sixth man of the year. Saying it right now. Sixth man of the year.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Scary Terry. So here's why the Boston Celtics are going to the Eastern Conference Finals this year. Because of the starting roster, right? We got the starting roster. We got the team. We got the complete. We made it last year without Hayward, without Irving. Terry Rozier took us to game 7. Yes, we were up. What was it? 3-0, I believe.
Yeah.
We were up 3-0. That sucked. I'm not going to lie, guys. Watching game 7, I told everybody we're going to the finals. Anybody I knew, I texted. I texted you both. I texted everyone at my church, everyone at work. We're going to game the NBA Finals. Golden State, watch out. We're going. And that loss, just like, I was in my living room, like, I wanted to cry. I've never been more heartbroken in my life watching LeBron beat us again, which is why I'm so happy he's in the Western Conference.
Him and Lonzo. Him and Lonzo Ball about to blow up the Western Conference.
What? Bro, I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't go higher than a fifth seed this year.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be surprised if they hit the second seed this year.
You think
think so.
Okay.
Lonzo Ball.
Okay, I need an
explanation. Lonzo Ball. Now, I'm about to ball out.
Listen, I was going to get into how the Celtics are going to beat the Sixers in the finals. We can do that next week. Uh-huh. I want you to tell me how the Lakers are going to dominate the Western Conference.
Okay, yeah. So here's the thing, right? LeBron, you were just talking earlier about how you don't like the way that LeBron leads his team.
Yes.
At the end of the day, like he did with the Heat, and when he made Booby Gibson a serviceable starter for the Cleveland, for the Cleveland before, he can make anybody a good player. He gets them open shots. He can hit them when they're going to the basket. And most importantly, he leads a defense that, if he's actually trying, can be top five because he's that good and he brings that much perfection to the court. He demands perfection out of those guys.
Right.
And someone like Lonzo Ball, who has the talent and potential, but maybe doesn't have the current like status of being great.
Sure.
But he has the potential to get there. And I think LeBron, I think playing with LeBron and having that with him is going to push him to the next level.
Help. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Sure.
You know, and I think, I don't know, man. I just think I can't bet against LeBron.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. You know, he's made, everywhere he's gone, he's made his teammates serviceable.
Right.
Regardless of where it's been. So people look at their team and discount them because they don't have people. But Brandon Ingram is talented.
Right.
You know what I mean? He's going to be a really, really good wing player for that team. Mm-hmm. You know, and I don't know. I think they have enough players to make it work. And I think maybe not hit second, but I think they can get third seed.
Sure.
So in the Western Conference, which teams would be better than them? We got Golden State.
In the Rockets.
In the Rockets.
Yeah. Those are my two guesses.
So you think the Lakers can go over the Thunder?
Yes.
The Nuggets are going to be good again.
The Nuggets are going to be a sleeper team. They're my sleeper team this year.
I mean, they're my team, but honestly, they're better than last year. Jokic coming back. MVP candidate, possibly. It
depends, but yeah, he's really talented.
If he has a good year. Paul Millsap is healthy. Now we have Isaiah Thomas. If he returns to his old form, watch out.
Yeah.
Jamal Murray, Gary Harris. I mean, we lost Wilson Chandler, but that was about the only guy that we lost. Yeah. But they're going to be a sleeper team to watch out for. The Thunder will be decent. The Jazz.
Pelicans, too.
The Jazz, I think, could be better than the Lakers this year.
Wow.
Ooh.
The Jazz.
Hot take.
All right.
Yes.
Dante Exum going to lead the league.
It's not all about having the best players. It's about having like a cohesive team unit. And they last year proved that. Like they don't have a whole lot of talent, but they're a really good team.
Right.
So.
You know who else they got? The Lakers have? I forgot. Michael Beasley.
They got Beasley?
Oh, and
Michael
they have Lance Stevenson.
Dude, and they have Lance Stevenson.
And JaVale McGee.
Yeah. Yes. And they literally
had the joke.
My argument.
The joke team.
They actually have the joke team, yes.
But you know what? Like, honestly, I want to end with this. You know what honestly makes me upset?
So.
How heavy the NBA is pushing this Sixers-Celtics rivalry, right?
Yeah.
So we're playing opening night. Mm-hmm. We're playing on Christmas Day. Do you know how nostalgic and awesome it would be to see the Lakers and Celtics play on Christmas Day? That would have been so cool.
That would have been really cool.
It would have been really cool. And they're just, I think we play them once or twice this year.
Yeah.
And they're like on like a Tuesday night and maybe like a Thursday night. I'm like.
What if they actually somehow played each other this year in the NBA finals?
You know what's sad? I'm gonna retort on what Matt said.
I don't see it happening, but it could.
Like, I don't like LeBron James. I just don't. I liked him a little bit on the Heat because I'm from Miami, so it's like I have some pride there.
Yeah.
But then he started beating the Celtics. I'm like, screw you, bro. Like, I don't want to see you play me again.
When he put up 63 points against the Celtics in game six, you still mad?
You mad, bro?
Yeah. Screw you, Matt. So the... Like I respect his game. Yeah. I do. I don't hate him because he's a class act. He's a good guy, right? He's a decent guy.
Decent guy.
He's not good. He's decent, but
he opened up a school for underprivileged
kids
for free.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And like I could go on a whole another rant about how there's just like people do good things because of their own pride nowadays. But we'll get on that another day.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah,
it's because man, that guy's head is huge. But so. I respect his game, right? I respect the way that he plays. I just don't like that he beats us, dude. And like, that's why you're saying Lakers Celtics in the finals. First of all, I am so on board for that. That would be so cool. I'm not gonna lie, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
That also makes me nervous because we were up 3-0,
right?
With Terry Rozier, with this roster, it's like this is the roster that shouldn't even be in the conference finals, let alone even the playoffs, maybe. We're good.
Yeah.
But we shouldn't be this far. I'm like, it's one of those things like we have to go to the finals. Is it the miracle team?
It's destined.
It's destiny. Yeah, the team of destiny of 2017-18. But we didn't. We lost. Up 3-0.
Yeah.
Can I mention one team that we haven't talked about at all?
Yes.
The Toronto Raptors.
I mean, yeah.
Did you see Kawhi? Kawhi Leonard, oh, no. Laugh video, dude.
What?
Bro. Okay,
probably going to win the East. Oh, no. Who cares?
Yeah. We haven't even talked about them, though.
They got Danny Green and Kawhi Leonard.
If Kawhi can stay healthy, they could be a sleeper team there, too.
Sleeper. They're going to win the East.
I think they're
very much still going to win the East.
Yeah. I see them playing the Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals.
If
Kawhi can stay healthy.
Yeah, but that's not fun, though.
It's not fun. Exactly.
That's not fun.
It's not
fun at all.
But that's what I'm saying.
That's fair.
If Kawhi stays healthy. If he doesn't, I'm seeing the Sixers.
I'm going to go ahead and redact what I said about the Bucks making the finals.
Yeah.
Because that was just me trying to get like a response out of them. So let's go ahead and cut that.
I do think the Celtics are the most talented team in the East.
Dang right.
Yeah.
Really? Most talented team?
I do think so, yeah.
Okay.
Top to bottom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bro.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I mean, they got with Gordon Hayward.
It doesn't
mean
that they're going to make it all the way.
Right.
I mean, I think they will right now.
Yeah.
But
I mean, I think if Gordon and Kyrie stay healthy, I believe. I think so, too.
I mean, they have so much talent.
Honestly, in reality, Horford, I think so, too.
Marcus Morris.
They have Marcus Morris.
You see him call out the Cavs, what Tristan Thompson said?
Idiot.
Because Tristan, what did he say? That they're going to be a threat in the Eastern Conference?
He's like, we made it to the finals the last 4 years with LeBron, so we're still the defending Eastern Conference champ, so you still got to watch out.
Like, I know I'm contradicting everything I said about LeBron not being a good team leader. I still think Giannis is better, but like I said, I respect his game, and the fact that Tristan Thompson comes out and says, we did it without LeBron, so we can probably do it. Or we did it with LeBron, so we can probably do it without him. Are you high?
He's an idiot.
He's an idiot.
The only good player they have is Kevin Love and Colin Sexton.
And he's so inconsistent. He's more inconsistent than the Jags, dude. That's another team we got to get into next week. But that's it. If, you know what? Let's end with this, guys.
Okay.
Do you think the New York Jets are going to beat the Jacksonville Jaguars this week?
No.
I think they
will. No, I don't.
What? Why?
Because I don't trust the Jags, dude. I can't trust this team.
Why?
Because they go out and they put in a good win, good dub in week one. Who'd they play? Against
Houston?
No, week one they played the Giants.
The Giants.
It
was a good team win.
Yeah.
Then they come into New England.
And beat the Patriots.
And it's like, oh my God. I was looking at them the way I look at the Rams.
Yeah.
And then they win or lose 9-6 against the Titans. And I'm like,
at home.
Listen.
I'm not saying let me rephrase this. The Jaguars are not an inconsistent team. Blake Bortles is an inconsistent quarterback.
Very much so, yes.
And I have a hard time. If it was like Fournette is inconsistent, yeah, like, all right, but we can trust Bortles so he can get the ball out and we can get TJ Yeldon out there to back it up.
Yeah.
But it's the starting quarterback who gets the ball every single snap. So I'm like, Sam Darnold is just going to get warped by that defense.
Yes, he is.
He's going to probably throw four picks.
Yeah.
Like, it's not going
to
be
pretty. They have to run the ball.
But could it be?
He won't be able to.
Could it be another?
They got to start off with that, though.
Yeah,
they got to get.
Oh yeah,
they got to try.
They gotta establish it.
Yeah.
But could it be another ugly 9-6 win for the Jets? Or I just don't see it being a good game.
Where's the game being played? Is it in New York or Jacksonville?
I believe it's in Jacksonville.
I think the defense is going to score more than 9 points.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the defense and special teams combined is going to score 2 touchdowns.
Right.
Like, honestly,
Leonard Fournette is going to be back this week too.
It's in Jacksonville.
He missed the last 2 games. Leonard Fournette will be back.
Oh, he is back.
He is back.
Yeah. Oh.
So, he's. Nice. I think he, I don't know what's going to happen, but if he's healthy, I think he could run all over them.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
It'll be
low scoring though. I think so.
Yeah, every quarterback that's not like Tom Brady level, even Tom Brady this year has games where they struggle. You know, Cam Newton 2 weeks ago struggled really, really hard.
Yeah.
And then he came out against the Bengals and threw like 5 touchdowns.
My boy Cam.
So, I mean, every quarterback in the league struggles because these guys are these are pro teams. None of these teams, except for like the Lions when they go 0-16 to the Browns last year, are ever like quote unquote horrible teams.
Right.
Let's be real. And the Titans are division rivals.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So
it's always a tight matchup.
Yeah. You know, they had a bad game. But I think they're going to come out and absolutely destroy the Jets. Yeah. It'll be like they'll win by like 5 touchdowns.
I don't see them destroying them. I think it'll be a little closer, but it'll be low scoring.
Yeah, sure. But I hate the Jets. So,
dude, the
they're never going to do what they did to the Lions ever again. I don't think like this season. It's like that was a fluke.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Well, that was fun.
It was.
Yeah, I guess.
Good first episode.
Glad we could keep doing this every Saturday, guys.
Yeah.
Listen, and remember, like,
tweet Zach about how bad the Celtics are.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Thanks. Follow me at the Iced Z. I'm on Twitter. We're on Twitter at Lockdown Pod. We're on Instagram at Lockdown Pod. Follow, like, subscribe. This is going on Apple Podcasts.
Send us any of your questions that you have that we can ask. What's the app
we're using again?
We're on Anchor.
We are on Anchor, folks. Shout out to Anchor, the homies. We're on Apple Podcasts, Anchor, probably other podcast hosting sites. So get at us, guys. Send us things you want us to talk about, want Matt to rant on or me to rant on. I didn't know I had that in me today.
Yeah,
that
was a good one.
So, see y'all next week.
Cool. Peace out, guys.
Peace.